Thanks, guys. Morning, everyone. Have a seat. What a beautiful way to start Sunday morning, worshiping and singing together. Some of you might know I love singing. I don't mind it, actually. I've been part of the worship team for a few years here, and it's just so lovely to be here and be led by these guys in that place of worship. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you, guys, for leading us and pushing us to lean into that place of worship, because when we do that, things change in here, but also things begin to change out there as well. You know, we're not just pushing into our own worship for the sake of ourselves. We're actually pushing into worship to declare who Jesus is and his mission in this world for the sake of the world and the community around us. So, yeah, I just wanted to leave you that one little pearl. I'll just do my Irene moment for a moment. That's what just struck me just then. Hey, we're in our Sermon on the Mount series. And I actually was trying to work out how many weeks we've been doing this series. I tried to count it and I couldn't actually do it. It's some big number, like 20-something, 30-something. Is it 30-something? How many weeks? Anyone know? Anyone have any rough idea? Jeff, where are you? Oh, it's the whole year. We've been going the whole year. When did we actually start? February. So it's not technically the whole year, but we'll go with that. It's the whole year. Yeah, and we're coming to the end. We're not quite at the end yet. I'll tell you exactly where we are in a moment. I'll give you the verses that we're going to be looking at today. But we are in a significant point in the sermon, because in reality, we are at the end. In fact, 2 weeks ago, if you remember last week, we had our family service. But 2 weeks ago, Lisa brought us a message that looked at the verses in Matthew 7:7-12. And we actually sang about those verses this morning, the ask, seek, and knock verses. Yep, thank you, Brad. That was cool. I don't know how I could keep up with those actions quite as well, but no, it's good. Ask, seek, and knock. And Lisa brought us that point at the end of 2 weeks ago. And at the end of, I just want to look back a little bit. I just want to, before I get to the two verses, which I'm absolutely frightened of this morning, because it's only two verses I have to talk about, but they're two pretty scary verses. I'll tell you why a bit later. And at the end of the section that Lisa brought, Jesus sort of went through the whole sort of like, you know, and so in summary, which is really where these sort of things tend to end when you give a sermon, like just when any of us gets up here to give a message, you know, we unpack it, but then at the end, we like to summarize it, don't we? And we're sort of at that section here because Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 12, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." And he's just been basically talking about a way to live your life. So this is Jesus' summary time. He's sort of bringing it home. He's sort of bringing it all together. It's a bit important to look also back, I think, just at this point, at what we've actually been looking at. What is the Sermon on the Mount? And the Sermon on the Mount is obviously Jesus' the most famous sermon. It's Jesus' sermon to the people when he was people who've chosen to listen to him, which sort of means that they're choosing to follow Jesus. They're sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus takes this opportunity to describe for them what life in the kingdom of God looks like. And he does it all the way through this long and awesome sermon. Which brings us to this end bit. And at the end, Jesus wants to sum it up with a bit of an invitation, but also he talks about twos for the next little bit right to the end. And I'll tell you what I mean. In the moment we're going to talk about, and we're going to hear what Jesus has to say about two gates. These are the two verses. Two gates. But in the next 3 weeks, after I've said it, talked about two gates, he's also going to talk about two kinds of prophet, true and false. He's going to talk about two kinds of disciples or followers of Jesus. They may be scary weeks. He's also going to end the sermon by talking about two kinds of builders. And so just before we look at our two verses that we're going to concentrate on today, verses 13 and 14, I just want to set it up that for the next 3 weeks that we're finishing off the Sermon on the Mount, it'd be great to come and hear, because they're all linked together. Jesus, at the end of his sermon here, is trying to make a point, and he makes it four times in four different ways. So let's look at these two verses today. Before we just read those verses, I just want to read something that I've read in a book by a friend of mine called Graham Anderson, because it's just an awesome way of summing up where we've come to this far in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll read it out to you. He sums it up well when he says, "We have been listening to Jesus teach those who choose to follow him. During his sermon, he has described life in the kingdom of God. He has confronted us, his listeners, about our tendency towards maintaining control. This control is seen in the rules and regulations we construct out of a desire for safety. It is seen in the way we attempt to manage others and ourselves." You can see that all the way through the sermon. Remember all those weeks we were talking about judging others, praying in front of others. Ultimately, it results in a life lived within our own kingdoms, where what we want done is done. Unfortunately, this desire for control is so hardwired into us, we can't simply choose to be better people and bring about change through our own willpower. We need something so much more. We need to learn life from Jesus. We need to follow him. So Jesus in this sermon has essentially been describing two ways to live. He's been contrasting and juxtaposing all these things all the way through. Remember when he said in that section, he said, "You've heard it said, blah, 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 but I tell you this. You've heard it said this, I tell you this." So he's really all the way through been talking about, hey, there's two ways to live your life. And he's been inviting us to look at, and he's been describing what life looks like in the kingdom and to live a kingdom life. So let's just pick it up at verse 13. Now I'm reading from the NIV. If you've got your Bibles in front of you, anyone got a real Bible? Anyone? Anyone got a proper Bible? They're all proper. Okay. We've got phone Bibles. If you've got it on your phone. Sorry, I haven't got it on a slide. It's only two verses. I'm going to read it out to you, right? So no biggie if you haven't got it in front of you. It says this. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." There's my awesome two verses today. And I must admit, when I put my name down to preach about these two verses, you know, 8 months ago, didn't really think about where we're up to. But gee, I've been thinking a lot about these two verses over the past week. It's actually interesting to think about what this actually means. And really, it's not a bad idea because, okay, you know, a lot of us would have heard and studied and pressed into these verses before. So this probably isn't the first time you've heard these verses about a narrow gate and a wide gate. I found it quite interesting to read some different translations and Bible translations on it. For instance, I'm just going to get tricky and try and get the New Living Translation up on my phone. And it says this, check this one out. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Okay. Maybe a bit sort of, well, kill me now, right? But there's one translation. Now, can I just say, just off the bat, I'm reading some translations here because I wanted to get a feel of what it really says. And I actually did, Jeff, you'll be impressed, I did go back to the Greek. And one word, I you know, Jeff's the expert when it's like, let's go back to the Greek and he'll take us through the whole thing in Greek. No, I looked at one word. I'll show you that in a bit. We've done the NIV. That was the New Living Translation. King James, good old King James Version. How about this one, eh? I'm gonna have to put a bit of a voice on here. Ready? Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Interesting, that one. The word straight, straight is the gate. Okay, it's actually spelt S-T-R-A-I-T, not straight as in straight, A-G-H-T. It's S-T-R-A-I-T. Now, that's an old word that means narrow, constricting. Think of Bass Strait, right? A strait is actually a narrowing of the sea into a really, really tiny bit before it opens up again on the other side. It's like this narrow channel. Straitjacket, that's a word we all know. Where did the word come from? Is it a straitjacket or is it actually a straight jacket? It's a constricting jacket, isn't it? It sort of holds things from being free and wide. So that's an interesting word. They use the word straight instead of narrow, but it sort of means the same thing. We've got two gates. So let's think about the gates for a moment. So Jesus is saying, okay, here's a gate and here's a gate. One's narrow, one's the wide gate. And they're different sizes. He's describing two entry points, really, isn't it? So here's an interesting thing too. If we go back to the NIV for a second, let me just take us back to the NIV. What does it say? It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I actually found it interesting that Jesus, certainly in this translation, puts the gate first and the road second. If we think about, okay, you know what? Because there's all sorts of ways you can look at this whole two ways to live thing. And when I think of those words, two ways to live, I actually think back to a thing from a couple of decades ago where I was in churches in Sydney, and there's a thing called Two Ways to Live. You can check it out. It's an evangelistic tool that helps to explain the gospel. But whenever I read Two Ways to Live in that explanation, none of it is wrong, and I don't disagree with any of it, but it really centers itself on the salvation that will get you back with God and to heaven, right? So it's a bit like that translation, the New Living Translation, where it talked about, you know, there's a road to heaven or the kingdom of God, and then there's a road to hell. And it's this or that, and which road are you going to take? I think Jesus is actually describing something a little bit more than that here. Sure, he's describing two gates or two entry points, but remember what I said before, the gate comes first and then the road? If we think about, well, okay, what are the ways to God, you know, and the world and other religions, if you just think about all the religions in the world, including Christianity, you know, we're all trying to say, well, okay, this is the way. This is the way to get to God, or this is the way to heaven, or this is the way to the afterlife, or this is the way to eternal life. And some of it is just be a good person, and some of it is do this, do that. You actually have to follow a whole set of rules, regulations, and things. In fact, most of the other religions, and I'm certainly first to say I'm not a religious scholar or an academic in this area, but just in my time looking at religions of the world, mostly you have to do something. There's a sort of do this, get that, do this then, make sure you do that so that. Whereas our Christian religion is different, isn't it? You like the whole grace thing. And I like the fact that the gate is mentioned first. Enter into the gate, and then you've got a road. Whereas a lot of other religions, it's like, go down this road, and it'll be hard, and it'll be duh, 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 duh. And you might end up, if you find this gate, being able to go through into something. So Jesus puts the gate first. I think that's significant. Why does he call it a narrow gate and a wide gate? Well, there's probably a couple of obvious reasons there. The wide gate in the world, so many different ways to find enlightenment, God, many, you know, the universal different ways to, or even not. Like it's the wide road of the world just saying, hey, we're fine. We're okay. We can make up our own rules. I can live my own life the way I want. And in fact, there are millions of different tracks I can take. It doesn't really matter. As long as I'm just on one of them and I'm not sort of bumping into the next person, think of that, you know, 15-lane highways. Anyone ever driven a car in the US, in the United States? How big are those highways? Like, seriously, when we have, like, you know, three lanes and we think that's a proper motorway, right? Oh, my goodness, try nine. And then trying to work out, like, how to get to the turnoff that you need. Anyway, lots of different lanes, very, very wide, very, very spacious. And yet, Jesus is saying, well, there's this other gate, and it's narrow. I mean, one obvious conclusion to that is he's really just pointing, well, there is one way, a single way, and it's me, it's Jesus. So, as Brad said, in John 14, I think it's verse 6, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? So, we've got Jesus pointing to him as being the way, the only way to God. So, narrow gate. But you know what? Again, like when we read these words, are we listening to Jesus and hearing, oh, yeah, so he's basically saying there's two ways to live, in that we've got the wide way to live and that's going to seem easy, and it's going to seem wide and spacious, but at the end of the day, it leads to, now there's the word, destruction. It leads to destruction. And what does that mean? Is he talking about hell and eternal damnation? Possibly. There is a true and real consequence to that. But is he also talking about just destruction in the here and now? You know, the brokenness that we actually see in our world, where we think, oh, we're on a track, it's all fine and everything's great, and yet we might be missing that narrow gate that leads to life. And the ultimate, the obvious conclusion to living our lives the way we want to live them without following Jesus is that things break down and get destroyed. Good things get lost. Relationships break down. Yeah. So I think Jesus here is actually saying all of that and more. I think the thing I'd love us to, I'd love you to maybe take away today, and even as you read this over and over, and in the coming weeks, as we look at the other twos that follow, talking about two sorts of prophet, true and false, or two sorts of Jesus followers or even disciples, and two sorts of builders. Jesus is really just offering us this call, isn't he? He's saying, in light of everything I've said in this sermon on what the kingdom life looks like, I'm asking you to now go, well, are you going to make a choice? And for many of us in this room, it's, hang on a sec, well, yeah, we have made that choice. We've chosen to follow you, Jesus. We've chosen to put our faith and trust in you for our future, our salvation, all of that. But I think Jesus is also saying, hey, look, choose the narrow way now for your kingdom life in the here and now as well. And although it may feel like he's saying, yeah, but you're going to be choosing a way that's really narrow, constricting, it's not going to be hard, it's not the easy, wide path. Tim Keller, when I listened to him speak about this, said an interesting thing as well that made me think. Where are these gates leading to? So on the one hand, we've got the wide gate, and it says it's leading to destruction, but the narrow gate, it actually does have a destination. It says it's leading to life. And Tim Keller said, he just painted a nice picture of this. The narrow gate, although it sounds like you're going to be on a narrow path as well, and it's going to be hard, and no two ways about it, choosing to follow Jesus doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. There's definitely persecution that might come with that. There might be difficulties that come with that. You might actually lose friendships, have family that don't want to talk to you. You might actually not be able to get a particular sort of, you know, there's all sorts of things. It doesn't actually guarantee that you're going to have an easy, easy life. But on the other side of that gate is a spaciousness of kingdom life that I think is what Jesus is inviting us into. So whereas on the one hand, the gate, which seems wide and appealing, and oh my goodness, it's a 15-lane highway and I've got my own lane and there's no one else either side of me and I can just go and it's all fine. That might lead to destruction. The narrow gate, and actually leads eventually to narrowness in itself. The narrow gate on the other side will lead to a spaciousness of following Jesus and being taught by Jesus that is so much better and so much more transformational for us than the other gate, the other way. So I hope I've made some sense this morning, but more than that, I actually hope that I've actually just got you thinking about these two things. And the point I really want to make is that Jesus at the end of this sermon is actually sort of summing it all up and saying, hey guys, so two ways to live. But more than just two ways to live in like, okay, believe in, and. Two ways to live as in follow, be taught by, let yourself be transformed. And that is the narrow gate. So he's really asking us to think about where we are, I think, as Christians as well. You know, it's very tempting to look at this narrow gate and wide gate as being the Christians versus, you know, the saved versus the non-saved. The Christians versus the non-Christians. Or even thinking about, well, it's the good people versus the bad people. It's actually not that at all. And you'll see in the weeks to follow that in some of these examples Jesus gives of two things contrasting, On the surface, they might look exactly the same. And yet it's deeper within the surface that the difference actually is there. So who are you following? Are you following your own efforts and strivings, even as a follower of Jesus or a Christian? Or every day, like Irene said, every day, are you choosing to let Jesus be your Lord? Let Jesus be your teacher? Let Jesus be the way for you? And that opens up the spacious kingdom life. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have communion. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are the way, that you have pointed towards yourself. And although in your words here you talk about a narrow gate, the first thing that you say, the first word you've used in that verse is enter. Just enter. That's all you ask us to do, is enter. So Lord Jesus, I just pray that for those of us who have entered that gate but feel like sometimes we're still driving our lives along that wide road, I pray, Father, that you would actually just bring our hearts and minds back to that narrow gate, so that we might just daily, moment by moment in our lives, be going through that gate and putting our trust in you and our fellowship in you. And Lord, we'd also pray for just the world. Lord, there's so much going on in our world, and so much brokenness and so much trouble and strife. And Lord, sometimes we get anxious about that and we worry, you know, it becomes a worry for us. But Father, we just pray that as we live for you and as we live to love the world and those around us, that so many more people would find that narrow gate, would find you, Lord Jesus. We just know that you work with your people, you work within your people, your presence is with us, and that wherever we are, you are. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that in our coming week and weeks, as we wrap up studying your word here, of your sermon, you would change us, you would transform our very characters, and be continuing to transform us into people that would prefer to do for others what we would want them to do for us. Help us to choose the narrow gate, though it may look hard. It's actually your easy yoke that we're choosing. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so we are going to now share with each other some food, some actual food. And it's a bit of grape juice, and it's a cracker, and it's a meal. And we're sharing this today, remembering the supper that Jesus had with his disciples, where he broke bread and he poured wine and he shared it with them. But he didn't just share it as just a meal. He shared it with them in a way that no meal's ever been had before. What did he say? He said, actually, when you eat this bread, it's my body broken for you. And when you drink this wine, it's actually my blood. I'm willing to spill that for you. And so eat it and drink it, not just because it's food and it will give your body nourishment, because it's me. And I want to nourish your souls, and I want to nourish your spirits, and I'm actually prepared to die for you. So as we come up, why don't you come up, and we're just going to do this all together. Come and grab a cup, grab a cracker, that's our bread and our wine, and we'll come back together and we'll have it at the same time, okay? Let's do it.